Hello and welcome to the Just Interesting podcast, the show that, as always, is not too interesting. It's hopefully not boring. It's just, you know, it's fine. How are you both? How are you, Martin?
Oh, very well, very well. It's been a decent week. We've had, I guess we've had good news here in the UK about the vaccine. They're going to be rolling it out, aren't they?
Yeah.
Which, you know, for most of us, we, you know, seem to think that's a very good thing.
First in the world to be approved.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So yeah,
never felt so uneasy being the first to do something, but you know.
Well, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, they say that, oh, there's lots of people coming out very patriotically, aren't they, saying the UK. I mean, this was it made by a German company, was supplied to us by the Belgians, was actually created by two Turkish scientists, or Turkish-German scientists, and of course, we basically just bought it. but of course, you know, flags out.
Best in the world.
Royal Britannia.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's a little bit of arrogance going on there, which is kind of, I was going to say funny to see, but anyway. Other than that, anyway, yeah, I'm fine. Yeah, but let's leave that behind.
Okay.
Let's move on.
How are you, Robin?
Fine, thank you. Yeah, back's getting better. People who care and remember last week,
well,
and I was complaining about my
Robin.
Backache. Things are all right. Just a bit phased, really. Kind of someone reminded me it was December 2020, and I was like, what?
Where am I?
What happened to everything else?
Can you believe we're on season 3 of this podcast now?
Season 3?
This is the first episode of series 3. Welcome. I don't know if anything is different. I don't think it is.
I mean, that's something we don't say as often as we should, because we do get new subscribers. And if you're here watching, you haven't subscribed, do subscribe. But welcome to anyone who is new, because we don't say enough.
Yeah, this is the perfect point to start the podcast, right at the start of a brand new season.
The formula has been refined and honed to its perfect point. It will never get better than this.
It clearly won't. I mean, we've just got this down to a T. We're 3 minutes in and have just done the introductions.
So,
we're clearly masters in the podcasting world. But what are we discussing today? Well, I'll tell you. We will be discussing, actually on the subject of COVID, everyone's favourite topic, but there have recently been attempted hacks at the vaccine centres across the UK and indeed across the world. And no one really knows who's conducting these hacks or why they're doing it, whether it's for secrets or, well, let's leave it for the main discussion in a little bit.
Yeah.
Well, we'll wildly speculate on that. But before we jump into any of this, we first want to thank our sponsors at NordVPN, who are kind enough to sponsor today's podcast. Look at us with sponsors. they are offering our subscribers a special limited time holiday deal where, get this right, you can get 68% off a 2-year plan, plus not one, not two, not three, but 4 additional months for free. If you just go to nordvpn.com/justinteresting or use the code justinteresting at checkout, you can get this amazing deal. That's great. And NordVPN is genuinely a service that we can thoroughly recommend. It's a household name for a reason now.
I mean, to be honest, this Christmas, I don't have much on my Christmas list, but if someone were to buy me a 2-year subscription to NordVPN, I'd be pretty thrilled, because I'm not planning to leave my house anytime soon. It's the most useful present they could give me.
Exactly. No, it was very good. And I've been doing a little bit of research, and I remember a couple of years ago, I think it was, or maybe even last year. I don't know about time. Time flies. Goes really slowly and flies at the same time. But a little show, one of my favourite shows of all time, called It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia, was taken off the US Netflix to the outrage of millions.
I mean,
it was taken off.
I can understand why. Yeah.
But it is available on the UK Netflix. So if you want your It's Always Sunny binge, then sign up to NordVPN, connect to the UK, and you can watch all... How many series are there now? 14? 14?
There's 14 series. Wow.
Is it still going?
I think it's about 14 series. So yeah, do that. I'm looking out for you. Do it.
But Alex, what if I'm unsure and I'm buying it for a friend for Christmas and they need to make up their mind? It's quite a big investment, right?
Well, I mean, I understand your hesitation, Robin, especially if this is a Christmas gift for someone. And even though I am 99.9% sure that they would absolutely love to receive this service as a Christmas gift, there is a 30-day money-back guarantee. What? Wow. Oof. So they can try the service, no risk, and if they don't like it, they can turn it in and get their money back. So just to sum up, you can get 68% off a two-year plan plus an additional 4 months for free by going to nordvpn.com/justinteresting. That's JustInteresting. Or, you know, just look at the title of this podcast. use the code justinteresting at checkout and get this amazing deal with a risk-free 30-day back money guarantee. And with that all said and done, let's jump into the rest of the podcast. So, Martin, what have you learned this week?
Well, I've learned what everyone's been wondering for years, and that is, what happens when you die on a cruise ship?
It's been one of my number one questions, Martin.
You've been asking me for years, and I haven't had the answer for you, Robin.
Honestly, I lie awake in bed at night just wondering what happens if I die on a cruise ship.
And then you think, am I on a cruise ship right now?
Yeah. I'm terrified of going on a cruise just for the uncertainty.
I mean, would you go on a cruise ship, firstly? I mean, not right now. I mean, it's probably not a good idea. Is it something that in the future you'd want to do?
I don't know.
I don't know. I do kind of see the appeal, but then there's no escape from it, is it? Is there?
You're in the middle of the ocean. If you feel seasick, you're done.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, these people that go on like a 200-day cruise when they have so much time and money on their hands, and then they end up realizing after 3 days that they're horrendously seasick. Yeah, you probably want to die then. But if you do die, there is a process that that's undertaken to deal with you. So each cruise ship, by law, has to have a morgue on board. So they have cold storage for your increasingly cold body. Nice. So often these morgues have room for two or three people. It depends on the size of the ship.
It's not much.
And an estimated 200 passengers die each year aboard cruise ships. The reason being that kind of the average demographic tends to be, I think the average age is 57 on a cruise ship.
Right.
Yeah, I guess that makes sense.
With about almost half of people being over the age of 60. So that demographic is kind of shifting towards the kind of sudden death. Wow. unfortunate death, especially if you're on a cruise ship for months on end. Mm-hmm. Some people will die falling overboard in drunken accidents, and other people have drowned in the swimming pool, etc.
Imagine, like, what happens? Do they dock and then just get rid of the body? Is that...
Yes. Well, that's kind of what...
The ship just carries on for the next couple of months.
Well, they have... There's a week-long period where the bodies can be kept within this morgue, in the cold storage, as it were. And then what they try and do is they try and take the body off when they go to their nearest port along their journey. But at this stage, the spouse can then choose whether they want to fly back with their partner or continue the cruise. Now, me reading this, I thought surely no one would go. No, I want my. I'm not gonna waste the money.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
It's what they would have wanted. Money on this cruise. Yeah.
Sipping the margaritas. Yeah.
Yeah.
But apparently, some people do, and if they do decide to stay on board, then they get a complimentary room service and hands-on support for the rest of their cruise. Wow. Anyway, there was in 2013 the famous journalist David Frost died aboard a cruise ship. Frost Nixon.
Didn't know he died on a cruise ship. That's news.
He did. Yeah. He died in the middle of the Mediterranean Seas. He's quite a high profile person that died, and his body was brought back to the UK soon after.
Yeah.
But there are occasions where people die on board, and there isn't enough room for their body because a couple of other people have died. And this does occasionally happen, and. And what they have to do here is they have to free up space in, freezer space, as it were, in these big, giant walk-in freezers they have on board, which is pretty grim.
Do they, hang them up on meat hooks? Is that what
that's disgusting. Apparently, it has to be away from food. So I don't know whether they remove all food from these from these freezers or whether they're used for something else.
Just in the corner, there's a body, and then right next to the other meat.
Although I have a question. Exactly. What difference does it make if it is near the food? If it's in the walk-in freezer, I mean, what's near food? If it's like 2 feet away from the nearest food. And everything's frozen.
Yeah. Probably. I guess I just, as someone who's might be consuming this food, I guess I'd just prefer my food not to be near a dead body.
I agree.
I wonder what freezer, the body would gradually break down, maybe before it froze. I don't know. Good question.
Yeah.
But if you are aboard a cruise ship and you hear the phrase over the tannoy, Operation Rising Star, this means that a passenger has passed away.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you hear that, if you have heard that, someone's kicked the bucket on board.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Oh, but I mean, now that you said that, Martin, they're going to change it because it's public knowledge.
Yeah.
Last minute, Tannoy changed to Operation Kick the Bucket. No one will guess.
Operation a dead person's on board.
I love the thought that so like an old married couple, one of them's at death doorsteps and it's like, honey, look, I brought us a cruise for the next few months just so they can get that free complimentary room service.
Anyway, so that's pretty much what I learned this week.
There was
one occasion that was quite interesting where there was someone went on a cruise with their mum, and like you say, it was her kind of dying wish to go on this cruise, and she died on board.
Right.
And so her son stopped off at a port, I think it was in Indonesia, got her cremated, got back on board, and then carried on the rest of the cruise with her because it's what she would have wanted.
The stopovers aren't for that long, are they? They're only like a few
hours. No, you have to be a quick cremation, yeah. I know, right? Anyway, he managed to find a solution, thank goodness.
Yeah.
So that's what I learned. That's what I learned this week.
That's great. Wow. That's really interesting.
Oh, yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, yeah. Wow.
So I'll go next.
Yeah.
Shall I? So this week I learned about a unit of measurement. You've both heard of Helen of Troy, the face that launched 1,000 ships.
Indeed, yeah.
Well, a Helen is also a unit of measurement based on this. So one Helen is a...
1,000 ships.
a measure of beauty, basically capable of launching 1,000 ships. So there's also a millihelen, which is someone who's beautiful enough to just launch one ship.
As a unit of measurement, I'm still finding this useless.
A millihelen.
So
I mean, that's an insult, really, isn't it?
Oh, you're like 10 millihelens. You'd launch 10 ships.
if you're not a full-on Helen, someone's taking the piss out of you, aren't they?
But there's some funny things with this. Apparently, this unit of measurement was allegedly invented by Isaac Asimov, who claimed to invent the term in the 1940s as a student. Although I think this is disputed by some people. I'm sure he wasn't the only person to have this exact same idea. But there is a negative value for this as well. A negative millihelen was the amount of ugliness required to sink a battleship or beach a ship, as some people call it.
I mean, it does seem like a bit of a misogynistic practice, doesn't it? It's rating girls out of 10, really, isn't it?
It is, yeah. Yeah.
But instead it's out of 10,000.
Basically, yeah. With some like classics civilization level of elitism thrown in there for good measure. It's fine because I'm comparing her to Helen of Troy. I don't know. I thought it was amusing.
It is amusing. It's quite funny. But
you pig.
But I'm glad it was pig. Just a joke and not a real thing. For a moment, I thought it was a real unit used like by the fashion industry or something. But it was just a joke by Isaac Asimov. That's all right.
Exactly. Yeah.
That's okay. Although he wasn't exactly famed for his feminist attitudes, was he? He was a bit hands-on with a lot of the female scientists in his circles.
Was he? Yeah. I don't know about that.
not in a deliberately molesting way, just in a Joe Biden, you know, bit too friendly way. apparently, I think, maybe, actually, I'm going to abandon what was going to be my things I learned this week. I'm just going to say this instead. Isaac Asimov was notorious for his hands-on approach with female scientists in those circles, female sci-fi writers. But they eventually did, he was always open about it. He acknowledged it and said, I'm like that, take it or leave it. But then later in his life, he did.
Not a defense.
Yeah, not a defense. Not a defense. But he did later in his life apologize. And I think he wrote in the foreword to a couple of his books, he kind of, and to his memoirs as well, he said, very openly, he said, I was like this. I am like this. And this is not a good thing. And apparently, one of the reasons that triggered him to acknowledge that was because there was a male scientist who I think was gay, but it was never really confirmed whether he was gay or not, who was very friendly to Isaac Asimov in turn, and would be overly friendly and kiss him on the cheeks and hug him and pat his bum at every opportunity. And Isaac Asimov, in his journals, said something on the lines of, his behavior towards me made me realize how all those women must feel in my hands-on hugging and kissing of them. But to this day, I still don't know if he was just overly friendly or trying to make me feel bad about the way I treated other women.
Oh, so, interesting point.
Yeah, so whoever the other scientist was, whose name I cannot remember, well done. You taught Isaac Asimov a lesson.
Yeah, well done. And it's... Yeah. Why do some people just have to experience the thing firsthand to actually understand why something's bad?
Yeah. Although, I mean, we all felt that way when Trump got coronavirus. We all thought it was going to be... It might be the thing that made him change his mind, but no...
Yeah.
No, he came out of it stronger and better than ever before.
It's true, true. So is that your This Week I Learned? Is that it?
It wasn't meant to be, but it is now.
Well, fine. Okay, well, there you go.
So thank you for triggering that. Thank you.
No problem at all. So shall we move on in that case to our favourite comments of the week?
No.
Alright, let's call it a day then. See you later.
I haven't got a particular comment. I just want to say thank you to the many comments we got on last week's episode, which was about the Australian quarantine to try to combat COVID. It looks like we're having a bit of a COVID month at the moment in terms of our podcast topics.
Merry Christmas.
Yeah, we got a lot of people who, a lot of our listeners and viewers on YouTube seem to be from Australia, which is nice to know, and they all seem to get really engaged with the topic naturally and gave us their thoughts. And the general consensus seems to be that people seem to be happy with the way the Australian government has handled their quarantine rules and their approach to COVID. That was the general thing. Just want to say thank you for all your comments. I also wanted to just add a couple of clarification points that I think things we didn't think of when we were talking about it in our previous podcast, which is we mentioned our personal views, which involves it's tempting to think that if people are going on holiday, then it's a risk that they're accepting. But of course, Australia closed its borders. So of course, you couldn't leave. So actually, this quarantine isn't really affecting holidaymakers so much as people, Australians, citizens who are already living abroad and working abroad, and whose visas might have expired, whose family members might be sick, or who might have been kicked out of a country, who's might have lost their jobs. Or someone did point out to me in the comments, a lot of Australians in Singapore, because of the civil unrest there, were encouraged to go back to Australia for safety. So, you know, and of course, at the beginning of the lockdown, Scott Morrison told Australians living abroad to stay put, and then a few months later told them all to register to come home. And so that's part of the problem with the crisis. But generally, just thank you to everyone who commented, and keep the comments coming in. It's fascinating to hear about your experiences in lockdown in Australia. Well, anywhere in the world, actually. So,
speaking of, actually, I saw a news story after we put that out where another, like, cleaning...
another one.
Well, yeah, got COVID.
Cleaning person, COVID. Also known as a cleaner.
Yeah. My mind just absolutely blanked then. Another cleaner for one of these hotels had COVID, and so they had to lock down the hotel again. Something in that as a conspiracy theory. They're trying to milk the hotels. They're in on the scam.
It could be.
I'm sure they're not. I'm sure it's the fact that cleaners have to go to all sorts of places and can't properly socially isolate. It makes them more of a target, I guess.
That's true. I mean, Rocket Summer did back that up and said it would absolutely be wild if it was actually a massive conspiracy. The hotel was discovered to have been hiring cleaners with COVID-19 to routinely infect the building and keep that quarantine cash flowing. I wouldn't be surprised, though. It's 2020.
Yeah.
I mean, stranger things have happened.
I mean,
but it would be right up there as being one of the strangest things. And I think that's probably unlikely.
Okay, shall we jump into the main discussion? So today, on the theme of cybersecurity, we wanted to take a look at a hacking campaign that's apparently been taking place since September, and is targeting vaccine research centers across the world. And no one knows who's conducting this, so I guess I wanted to talk about this, find out what they're after, who these people are, and get to see if we here on Just Interesting can get to the bottom of it.
Alex is going to kick down some doors and kick some ass.
Yes, that sounds like me.
What was the 80s movie we were hacking? What's it called again?
The 80s movie? War Games.
With Bredrick.
Yeah, War Games. Yeah. That was a great movie.
Are you going to counter hack, Alex? No, like Matthew Broderick.
I'm going to counter hack. I'm in.
The system's down. I'm in.
Haven't got enough time. I need 5 more minutes. You've got 2.
Accessing the mainframe.
Yes. Anyway,
access denied.
Downloading the virus right now.
Uploading.
So, a cyber espionage campaign targeted at companies vital to the distribution of COVID-19 vaccines has apparently been detected. And this was an alert that was issued by US government and research published by IBM. So according to them, this hacking campaign started in September. And it targeted a range of organizations, including in government and across the energy and IT sectors, all of which are associated with this COVID-19 vaccine distribution. Their cold supply chain is called. Mm. And that's because this Pfizer vaccine, which has just recently been approved for use in the UK, has to be stored at -70 degrees. So this is targeting those centers that help keep this vaccine cold, which is interesting. Interesting that they're targeting that specific aspect of the distribution of the vaccine.
Mm-hmm. And it seems like the logistics of that are complicated. It was always the Oxford vaccine and the, what was the other, Moderna one.
They
needed to be stored at, I think, between 5 and 8 degrees and -20 degrees, respectively.
So regular freezer temperature.
Yeah, we're talking about much more easy to store vaccines, whereas the logistics of it were pretty crazy. So I imagine that if you disrupt this in any way, the whole thing could be scuppered quite quickly.
Mm. So are you both of the mind that this is an attempt to disrupt the West's development of a vaccine? Or do you think it might be, since we don't know who it is, could it be a nation that can't afford, for whatever reason, to develop their own vaccine, just trying to find out how to do it?
Well, you've touched on some interesting things there, Robin. First of all, it's interesting that you said the West, implying that this took place in the East. possibly.
My racist assumptions are all over this.
No, it's not. I mean, these attacks were carried out in the UK and in the US. So I mean it's entirely accurate. But I mean, we haven't even touched on the idea that this is state sponsored actors. And that is what IBM have warned this campaign that's being run has the potential hallmarks of nation-state tradecraft, is what they specifically said, quote.
Wow. Interesting.
So it's a sophisticated phishing email campaign. So they're trying to get people to click on a certain link, people that work at these organizations. And then, it's unknown whether this was successful yet, though. Not much is known whether the hackers have succeeded or not. Mm. But it could be state-sponsored actors, or it could be organized criminals. But what they do say is that without a clear path to a cash out, Cyber criminals are unlikely to devote the time and resources required to execute such a calculated operation with so many interlinked and globally distributed targets. So this is a massive campaign. And without a clear cash incentive, they're saying it's unlikely that cyber criminals would be the ones at fault.
There can always be alternative motives. I mean, if it's a state actor, of course, the motives are slightly different than just cash, right? The three that come to mind are China, Russia, and North Korea. Yeah. The three state actors that come to mind when it comes to hacking. Yeah,
they've been very big on hacking in the past few years, haven't they?
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Especially in the West. So, of course, their motives might not be directly a cash out, as it were. Yeah. But even if someone's not directly, say, implementing ransomware, it could be that they've, gone short on the stock for Pfizer dropping. And then, so for instance, if this doesn't come out in time or there's disruption, stock goes down, they make money out of it. So it's not always like a direct correlation between money and these attacks. But it's interesting that that's kind of what they're saying, that there isn't this kind of cash out that non-state actors wouldn't bother continuing and putting resources into this if there isn't that cash out.
That's really interesting. I hadn't even considered like the stock situation and drops and people buying the dip or whatever it is, and I don't know anything about stocks.
I mean, I imagine that it might be quite obvious then who the actors are.
Yeah, that's true.
But you know, it's probably something to bear in mind. I agree. I don't know tons about how that would work in reality, but it sounds like it's an alternative theory that could be there. I mean, these phishing emails then. So apparently they were pretending to be people from within the companies.
Right.
So they were replicating significant prominent figures within the companies, sending like a company wide email around pretending to be from this person, and so people would then reply to it thinking that it's legitimate, and then of course it's a phishing email. And I think you touched a little bit upon the organizations that were linked to this, but they actually include the World Health Organization, UNICEF, the World Bank, and the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. So we're talking about big players, the biggest players within coming up with a vaccine and also cold storage. So it's a big deal. It really is.
Yeah. I think what other ones were there? There was the European Commission's Directorate General for Taxation and Customs Union. So massive places. This is huge. And apparently this follows an announcement in July from Britain, the US, and Canada that apparently Russian cyber spies were trying to steal research into coronavirus vaccines. So governments have already accused other governments. Well, our governments have accused Russia of trying to steal research already. So maybe it's Russia doing this as state-sponsored actors. I mean, that's one theory. You also said, Robin, maybe it's from a country that, you know, can't afford vaccines themselves or are looking at secrets on how to make these vaccines. So that kind of also puts North Korea up there as well, possibly.
It does. My money's on North Korea. I think it's either... It could be Russia or China for the reason that Martin said. They just want to disrupt our efforts. And the timing is interesting. This is, less than a week after the UK has approved the vaccine, which I think makes it the first Western nation to approve a vaccine. So the timing suggests it could be purely, geopolitics trying to screw with us, like Martin said, and have an economic impact on the developers of the vaccine. Or I think it might more likely to be North Korea, who, again, the timing is that finally there's a vaccine which our government's willing to approve. So a nation like North Korea, who presumably haven't been developing a vaccine or haven't had any success developing a vaccine, because we know that their scientific resources are very limited, not just in terms of the equipment but in terms of the education that they have or lack. But then the question is, why are they doing it? Because they can't make their own vaccine and therefore just want to take the first vaccine that comes along, right? Or is it that, because in an ideal world, when a scientific breakthrough like this is made, it doesn't become the intellectual property of the company that develops it. I'm sure the way the industry works, the way our capitalist society works, that is basically what's happened. But in an ideal world, when you're in a global pandemic situation, if a company comes up with a successful vaccine, that scientific discovery should be public knowledge. It should be published for the world to see, published at least for peer review, and then published for the sake of humanity. So then you think, oh, well, hopefully our nation will, and other nations in the West will, or whichever nations, sorry, I keep saying the West, I should say, whichever nations develop a vaccine first should be willing to share that vaccine with others, especially those nations that don't have the resources to make their own or to afford their own. So my question is North Korea taking it for themselves, or are they taking it to circumvent the situation where the USA, the UK, Europe, the UN has a vaccine, North Korea doesn't, goes to them and says, we'll give you our vaccine on the condition that XXXXX. So you've got this country that's kind of, I wonder if it's something like North Korea, if they're doing this not so much for their own political gain, but for their own political preservation, because the regime knows that they can't afford to make a trade as important as vaccine against the pandemic, because they're not willing to give anything up. That's just pure my speculation.
Interesting point, but I mean, to me, that would seem like trying to, I don't know, fix a dam with masking tape. Like, the vaccine's going to come out regardless. Mm. So that scenario, you'd only be, you'd be pushing it down the road maybe a few months. Maybe to come up with a counter strategy, or maybe a, maybe to have a supply of a vaccine from another nation, like say China. Well, they, if they developed a vaccine in the meantime, they'd be much more likely to supply North Korea with the same demands
that
some of the West would. But to me, it seems like that issue will be the same for them perhaps in a few months' time as it is now. But yeah, it's interesting to know but we don't know exactly why they would want to, for sure. Apart from, as you say, just disrupting Western efforts to have control over a vaccine in the short term.
Just to go back to what you said a while ago, Robin, about in an ideal world, just to be a devil's advocate for you.
Please be.
Do you think, though, that the reason the vaccine has come out in absolute record time is because all of these companies are like competing to be the first ones that can get ahead? Like, if they had saw no financial incentive in it, if they knew that when they discovered it, it would just become public domain, do you reckon they would have pushed so hard for it?
No, I think you're right. There's obviously that element of competition. I think a more important phrase, though, and I suspect Martin might want to say this too, is that necessity is the mother of invention, and capitalism does not have a monopoly on the ability of humanity to rise to the occasion. I think, let's not forget that the amount of red tape that governments across the world have removed for the sake of getting a COVID vaccine made quickly, and the amount of funding that's been directly pumped into the private sector by governments around the world, which I approve of, by the way. I think that's a good thing. So you're right.
I'm just being devil's advocate.
No, I think you are right. I think we currently have three very viable options on the table, with Moderna, the Pfizer one, and the Oxford one, which is independent of those. And then we know in Britain alone we've got the Cambridge one, and then we've got a bunch of others in Europe, and then there's, I don't know how many they're doing in America.
Russia have Sputnik as well.
Yep.
Of course, it's Sputnik.
So in our Western societies alone, where we are willing to cooperate very easily, we've got dozens of options on the table. And they are the result of capitalism, which has allowed more than dozens of companies to exist and work together. Like with the Pfizer one, it's not just Pfizer, it's Pfizer and
BioNTech.
Yeah, that's right. Which I still think of, I don't know why, that just makes me think of InGen from Jurassic Park every single time. Like BioNTech, like they're definitely making dinosaurs, right? on the side.
You got the vials mixed up again.
People
this man's a T-Rex.
Frontline workers and care home occupants are going to first get the vaccine. They're turning into velociraptors.
Everyone expects a zombie outbreak. They don't expect people to turn into velociraptors. That's what 2021's really going to store for us.
And they'd be severely disappointed, I think, when the actual size and scale of Velociraptors so much smaller than in Jurassic Park.
Mm.
No, really?
It's incredibly.
Yeah, they're like the size of a turkey, aren't they?
Yeah, they're like tiny.
Oh, what? Yeah. I mean, that's cute, but you crushed my dreams.
Yeah, you should have chosen a T-Rex instead of a...
Weren't they also like...
an oversized chicken.
Yeah, weren't they also basically chickens? They had like feathers and stuff. Yeah.
They did have feathers. I mean, I think it's a bit... what's the word I'm looking for? Reductive to describe them as chickens. They still had teeth and claws. And just because they had feathers doesn't mean they're...
Oh, they're just chickens.
Just chickens. Just bloody chickens, aren't they?
Basically just a large chicken.
Yeah. Ostriches. They're harmless.
Okay, another question. Totally off tangent now. Okay. Do you think Jurassic Park would have been the commercial and global success that it was if they knew back then that dinosaurs actually mostly had feathers and stuff?
Did they know back then and just decided to go a different direction? I can't remember.
I can't remember when that theory arose. I think it was in circulation. Michael Crichton, damn it, I've read this book 3 times, and I think he does mention it, or kind of in passing in the book. But yeah, if the film had them with feathers, I don't think it'd be quite as effective.
No chance.
Yeah,
just scarier, isn't it? No when chance. They're lizards, just scarier.
It's just scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Anyway, totally off topic there. Sorry about that.
Yeah, back to the pandemic that's killing people around the world. For the record, at the time of recording this, the UK has just exceeded 60,000 deaths officially from the virus. So,
and the US had its worst day for cases.
Really?
Today.
Wow.
Two. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's kind
over,
of level
over 200,000.
Is it leveling off here now? A little bit.
Maybe in the short term, but the general trend is upwards. Yeah.
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 Leveling off, but still higher than.
Oh yeah, no, really. it was higher today than hasn't really gone down, has it?
But it's fine because we'll all be able to reunite for Christmas, and that's what counts.
Yeah,
emotionally, I know that is important, and I'm really looking forward to seeing my family. But
yeah, doesn't make the most sense.
Yeah,
not so sure.
Mm-hmm. So, okay, so I'm gonna say if I were a betting man. I think North Korea is probably behind this hack. I'm not quite sure what their motive is, though. What do you two think?
Well, apparently, according to IBM, they've said that if the hackers were successful in this, they could lead to the stealing of and selling vaccine shipping containers. So this is actually like, could be part of a plot, not just to steal the research, but to steal the vaccines themselves, like an actual stealing theft.
So they know
not just
what
of information.
Looking for.
Yeah, so they can get shipping containers, get them, sell them on the black market. So that's the idea, that this is actually cyber criminals and actual like organized crime that's trying to carry this out.
The Russian research, Sputnik, state funded, isn't it?
I believe so. Yeah,
I believe so.
I'm going to go for Russia on the premise that if Russia are able to disrupt these Western vaccines, then that gives Sputnik more time to develop, to go through its testing phases and to be one of the big players.
Yeah.
And so commercially for Russia to be able to potentially distribute and sell this vaccine would be massive. And so I think that there's just that, at a very basic level, that incentive for them financially to have a bit of time to be working on their own vaccine by disrupting others.
And that disruption approach does lend itself to what they're doing, because they're trying to basically harvest credentials, possibly to gain future unauthorized access to corporate networks and sensitive information relating to the distribution of these vaccines. So, yeah, the more credentials they can basically get, the harder it will be to shut them out from like future information regarding this. If they can just get into all these different people's accounts, then it becomes more difficult to shut the hackers
that
out.
That does sound like the clever kind of long-term planning that Russia does.
And Russia has already been accused by the US, the UK, and Canada of doing this in July. So that is possible.
Yep.
There's the means there. There's the motive there. And the murder weapon has almost been there as well from July. So, I mean, that could, maybe that does make a lot of sense. But then North Korea does as well.
Yeah, but Hollywood hasn't released any movies to offend Kim Jong-un.
I was about to say they're still angry about the internet.
They're still trying to hack Sony. Kim Jong-un right now is just trying to hack Amazon to get a PS5. That's what he's concerned with.
And he's going to... How many does he need to make a supercomputer?
Was it like 200?
Mass destruction? That's 200, was it?
That's a sick reference. That's a sick reference, bro. Yeah.
I bet you they only need one, actually. PS2s compared to a PS5. They probably only need one to make a super weapon. Oh, dear.
He's just there constantly refreshing the Amazon page. If only we could get one!
China's we've got several thousand here. We just stole them from the factory production line. You know they're made over here, right? On a serious note, it's sad and it's worrying. Just because you would hope that a global pandemic like this would be an opportunity for the world to unite and come together. But in a weird way, I guess it's happened at such a divided moment in human history. Not that humanity has ever been truly united. In fact, it's always been divided. But I feel like the last decade has been particularly bad for nations not working together and for societies within nations to not come together. So it's sad that at a time of global pandemic, say in the UK, they had the emergency funds to keep people employed with the national furlough scheme. Was it hundreds of billion pounds spent, given to employers? £2 billion of that was given to organized crime, who scammed the government successfully. And then nations are hacking each other to steal the intelligence so that they can further down the road potentially steal the vaccines themselves. And governments, even the governments that cooperate with each other, apparently seem to be competing with each other to be the first to have the vaccine. It's hard not to think, in our case, given who our prime minister is and given our government and given what's about to happen at the beginning of 2021 politically, it's just petty political point scoring to make themselves look good. And like Martin said, to promote our patriotic ability to make drugs.
Well, on that note, maybe one option that we haven't considered. We've been pointing the blame at individual countries. Maybe it's all of them. Maybe it's all of them and then some. Everyone's trying to get all the information they can.
Yeah.
And it's a joint effort from, not joint as in together, but all these countries are working simultaneously. Who knows? Maybe even we're attempting to hack other countries like Russia and China.
I would be surprised if we
most certainly are.
I think maybe the big thing that we can take away from this is that under the surface, you know, behind the scenes, there's all these different espionages going on with different countries.
Mm.
Who knows?
I think you're probably right there, Alex. And on top of that, people have been selling hand sanitizer for 20 times the price. It's all part of the same thing, isn't it? It's people not looking out for each other.
Yeah.
And trying to get one up on someone else for either financial gain or political power.
What's my end? That's what humanity thinks in a crisis like this.
Exactly. It's a shame.
It's a real shame. David Brent.
Slight understatement.
It's a shame.
Well, I'd really like to know what our listeners think and what people watching us on YouTube think, especially our YouTube members and Patreon supporters who are not thinking about what's their end. They're thinking about helping others by supporting us, and that's wonderful of them. So thank you very much. And please let us know what you think, either by commenting below, or you can tweet us at JInterestingYT.
Yes, that is the Twitter account I set up. That was the only handle I could get.
Yeah, tell us your thoughts. Who's hacking? Why are they hacking? Should they hack? Why not hack? Vote in a poll that doesn't exist.
We haven't considered one option.
What's that?
Oh, go on.
Could it be Robin? Robot Robin? Hacking Robin into the mainframe? This has got you written all over it.
I don't hack into the mainframe. I am the mainframe.
That's a cool soundbite if anyone wants to extract that audio.
That was good.
Thank you.
How do you guys like the sound of a quiz?
Oh, always.
I love the sound of a quiz.
Welcome, gentlemen, to the first quiz of season 3 of the Just Interesting podcast. The entire world is watching you. I couldn't even finish that.
The whole world is watching.
So there's the opportunity here to take an early lead. Is it going to be the dominator of season 2, Martin, or will it be Robin who
dominator of season
Robin
one?
Who won season 1? Yeah.
Comfortably, very comfortably as well.
Very comfortably, yeah. You've got everything to prove this season, Robin. Actually,
I'm going to give that intro a 6 out of 10. Started strong, tailed off towards the end there.
Yeah, I think 6 out of 10 is probably generous, to be honest. Okay, let's hear your buzzers. Martin, what have you gone for?
Well, I thought about a new season, new buzzer, but I just like this one, so I kept it.
Hey, if it's not broken, why fix it?
Yeah,
that's what I'm
thinking. It served me well in season 2, yeah. And I was shopping and changing in season 1. And,
yeah, that's what did it. Yeah. Robin, what have you gone for?
Well, I'm going to stick to formula, but it's not one that I often get to use. But it is another drunk celebrity, our other standard go-to buzzer. Wait a second.
That's a bit quiet.
There you go.
Did I just do anything? No, it's a sidecar. Grand Champagne has always been celebrated for its excellence.
So that is Drunk Orson Welles. But unlike Alex, I don't know the right timings for this video.
I see, yeah. So. You're wielding the power of Drunk Orson Welles for this one. Okay.
That's interesting. You've got, yeah. I mean, I think that drunk people in general, drunk sound bites are probably the way forward.
We should
try and find a bit of a catalogue.
I've got
potential
buzzers. I've got a perfect one for next week.
Oh yeah,
ta-ta and farewell.
Yeah, oh, nice, yeah.
Succulent Chinese meal.
That would be good. That would be a good one. Okay, so general knowledge, just nice and easy to start off with. You know, season. Okay, question number one.
Okay.
Can you name the only country in the world named after a specific woman?
Oh,
only country in the world named after a specific woman.
Where are you?
Go on then, Martin.
Oh, maybe not, actually. I was going to go for St. Lucia.
It is St. Lucia. Well done.
Yep. Nice one.
Nicely done. That is 1-0 to Martin, who takes an early lead. Question number two. What do you call a baby puffin?
Oh, come on.
Has always been celebrated for its excellence.
Go on, Robin.
I've no idea. Is it, following on from last week, a puffling?
It is a puffling. Following on from, I wanted to find another example of an animal that has that same thing. Like it was an ant, yeah. Wasn't it? Antling.
Yeah, antling.
Antling.
Nice. Yeah. Okay, well done. Come on then.
1-1 as we go on to question three. Question number three. Which British archaeologist discovered Tutankhamun's tomb?
There is a California champagne by Paul Masson.
Go on then, Robin.
I believe the answer would be Howard Carter.
It was Howard Carter, yes. That is correct. Okay, question number 4. 2-1 to Robin. Who was the only one of Henry VIII's wives to receive a queen's funeral?
Ooh. Where are you? Where are you?
Go on then, Martin.
I thought it was Catherine Howard.
It's not what I've got written down. Sorry.
It's fermented in the bottle and like the best French champ.
Go on then, Robin.
It would be the one who died in childbirth, I assume, which was Jane Seymour?
It was Jane Seymour. Well done, yes. I wasn't actually sure of the reason why, but that makes sense.
Yeah. She was the only one he might actually have liked.
Not a great success rate.
Yeah. Lovely man. Yeah. Well done. So that's 3-1 to Robin as we go on to question 5. I believe that's right. Is that right? Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
I'll take it.
Okay. Which element is contained in the molecules of organic compounds?
Where are you?
Oh, okay.
Go in there, Martin.
Carbon.
It is carbon. We are carbon-based life forms. Life forms. Yes, indeed.
Every sci-fi movie ever taught me that.
Exactly. Yeah. Okay, that is 3-2 to Robin. As we go on to question 6. What was the name of the first permanent English settlement in North America?
It's British dated.
Where are you?
Oh, I think Robin got there just in the nick of time.
Is it Jamestown?
It is Jamestown, yes. Well done.
Close.
Oh.
That's annoying, because the beer I've got on the side here is Jamestown.
No way.
Wow. Oh. Is this quiz a little bit too easy? Is it the right level of... I don't know.
Well, I think it's down to the buzzer at the moment, so that's not too easy. I think it's been good.
Glad to hear it. Okay, question number 7. Is it 4-2? US actor, producer, and director Nicholas Coppola is better known by what name? Who do you think? I genuinely wasn't sure that time.
Robin, you got there first.
Are you sure?
Yeah.
Go on then, Robin.
Yeah. I feel...
No, I was. I think you did get that.
You did. When I pressed it, I'd already heard yours.
Okay, for sure. That would be Nicolas Cage.
It was Nicolas Cage of National Treasure fame.
National Treasure fame.
Which I still haven't seen.
People were genuinely upset to hear that you hadn't seen National Treasure, Martin. So
yeah,
you've got to sit down and watch it.
It's true, yeah. I do need to, apparently. Apparently it's worth a third viewing. So
definitely, absolutely. So that is 5-2 to Robin as we go on to question 8.
This is not good.
Martin, you can do this. You can definitely
definitely bring it back.
There's loads of time, yeah.
There's 3 questions. But I'll try. Okay.
In which UK city is
is
Waverley Railway Station?
So I just knew that was coming up, so I pressed the buzzer anyway. Waverley, that's Edinburgh.
It is in Edinburgh, yeah.
I did not know that.
Nicely done.
Waverley Rail Station. How do you find out about Waverley Rail Station, Alex?
I've been to Edinburgh.
You go to Edinburgh.
That was the last place I actually visited.
I feel like it's fairly famous.
Is it famous?
It's quite a well-known one anyway.
Yeah, I think it's one of the early ones.
Is it where the... What's the famous Scottish train called?
Flying Scotsman.
Flying Scotsman. Is that where it was held?
Yeah, that was the East Coast, wasn't it? I think. Flying Scotsman.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, London to Edinburgh, Flying Scotsman. That makes sense. Yeah.
Okay.
And they're both East Coast.
I was wondering if there was another connection. Yeah.
I can't tell you, I'm afraid. Maybe our wonderful audience can tell us in the comments.
Indeed.
Well done, Robin. I think that's it.
Very good.
This game. Now, Martin, you just need to get some points just for the honour, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, true.
6-2. As we go on to question 9.
5-2? 6-2. 6-2. 6-2, that's bad.
No.
It's not good, is it?
You can make it 6-4. You can do it.
I don't mind about making it 6-4. I don't want it to be 8-2. That would be bad, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Let's go for 6-4. Let's call it 6-4.
Let's call it 6-4. Let's move on. Yeah.
I mean, I will say there is a James Bond song, James Bond question.
Oh, Martin gets that.
So, you're
Martin loves James Bond. Yeah.
Which character?
Okay, question 9. Which two musicians collaborated on Another Way to Die, the theme song to 2008's 007 Quantum of Solace? Martin. That was definitely
Martin.
It was
Jack White and Alicia Keys.
It was. Well nice. Done. I think you should get 2 points just for getting both of them. No. No, we're going to be strict this season with the rules. I think so. Yeah.
We can all agree that is the best Bond song ever, right? Right?
I know you're joking, but in terms of production it's right up there.
I forgot you like the sound engineering on that. Yeah,
I do. I think it's great. Yeah. The sound of the drums on that sound incredible.
Yeah.
There's some little hi-hat chops on that that sound fantastic.
Yes. I definitely remember it.
I like that song apart from the Alicia Keys bit.
Yeah, same. She ruins it.
Just starts wailing.
Should have been a Jack White song. And there's that stupid piano thing she does where she just plonks one key. You're like, ding, ding, ding. It's like, what are you doing?
I've made the mistake of bringing up James Bond on the podcast.
We'll do a James Bond special one day. When No Time to Die eventually gets released in 2035, we'll do a James Bond special.
Yeah, I might have to do like a big watch-a-thon beforehand. Watch all the old ones.
Do it. You'll love some of it.
you've sold me.
That's the funny thing about James Bond. I won't bang on about it, but it's like you look at the movies and you're like, oh yeah, I love James Bond, and then it's like, so what do you think of this one? It's like, that's not very good. what about Octopussy? Nah, I don't really like it. View to a Kill? Nah, not really. Live and Let Die? Oh, it's okay. The song's good, but it's a bit. And then it's like, you go through them all. It's like, how many of these do I really like? I just like the franchise in general, but not really many of the movies.
It's like even the Daniel Craig era. Like someone said, oh, who's your favourite Bond? I'd say, oh, Daniel Craig. And then they'd be like, oh, do you like Skyfall? And it's like, oh, not as much as everyone else. Do you like Spectre? No, it's terrible. Do you like Quantum Solace? Oh, one of the worst. Okay, he's got one good movie. He's got one good one. Yeah.
No, but I do still love the franchise.
What's the less important Bonds? I'd love to hear this. Yeah. Okay, so...
Sorry, derailed the quiz there.
No, it's fine. My own fault for bringing up James Bond, I think. Final question. Question number 10. What is the name of Mackenzie Crook's character in the sitcom The Office?
Oh, I have no idea.
Go on then, Martin.
That'd be Gareth Keenan.
Gareth Keenan, yeah. That's the one. yeah, if you haven't seen the British Office, the UK version of The Office, it's...
almost as good as the American.
Well, some people would say it was much better. But it depends what kind of comedy you like, I guess.
It's kind of a 50-50 choice, it seems. You either think it's better or you don't. So, you know.
I really like both.
Yeah.
Although if I had to choose, I would have to go to the UK just for points for originality.
Yeah.
But they are both tremendous.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, would you like the bonus question?
Yeah.
Ooh,
bonus. Go on.
Question,
please.
Okay. In minutes, what was the total time that Neil Armstrong spent out of the lunar module on the moon? And it is the closest wins.
In minutes?
In minutes.
It's a good one.
The French champagne is always...
Go on then, Robin.
The annoying thing is, I'm pretty sure I read this fact just a few weeks ago. I know what it is. I started watching the Apollo 11 documentary, and I only made it 75 minutes into the 90 minutes, and they just got off the lunar module.
So you got to the interesting bit and then
just
stopped.
I haven't had the time to watch it. I've been watching 10-minute chunks. So that was 2 weeks ago I got there. And so I'm just about to find out the actual statistic here. So I'm going to make a guess and say 41 minutes.
Okay.
See, I thought it was longer because I read somewhere last week, I think, or the week before, that they were actually up there for way longer than I thought they were. I thought they were up there for like, I don't know, half a day or a day, and they're up there for a number of days. Mm. So I'm gonna say it was longer, but I don't know if they're out of the capsule for that long, or whether they were just up on the moon for longer.
They might have gone up. I have to look this up after. They might have got in and out multiple times
because they slept up there, didn't they? They slept up in the capsule.
Yes. But what did they do on the first one? They did on other moon landing missions, but they do it on
imagine,
the first.
I don't know. I'll probably got this all wrong.
Imagine having a nap, like having.
I know. This is the first thing I thought. You're wasting your time.
Imagine having a nap on the moon, like just genuinely, like, just being able to fall asleep, knowing that you're on a different terrestrial body.
I think most of them said that they
sleeping through Christmas Day.
Yeah.
Times 100. I'm going to go for longer. Why not? Let's go for 62 minutes.
Yeah.
Well, Martin is closer. It's surprisingly long that they spent on the lunar surface.
Oh, good.
It was 152 minutes Neil Armstrong spent.
2.5 hours.
Just wandering about. I mean, why wouldn't you try and maximize the amount of time?
Yeah, absolutely, yeah.
You're on.
Unless there was a reason why they had to return to the capsule.
Yeah.
Oxygen, stuff like that.
Yeah,
oh, cool. Yeah.
Yeah, surprisingly long amount of time that they were in the movie Studio 4 that Stanley Kubrick was directing.
Okay, here's a choice. Would you rather spend 152 minutes walking on the moon's surface or watching the next Pirates of the Caribbean or the first Transformers or whatever those movies that are really long but actually
it's
quite
the
bad.
Equivalent.
That's a good point. I'm just thinking what the worst long movie is.
I can't believe you're actually thinking about this. The worst long movie, oh, there's so many.
I mean, the thing is, like, it's not the lunar surface is great. It's the journey up there and the journey back and the potential for death. That's
I'd do it. Wouldn't you do it?
If you had a chance to go on the moon?
Yeah.
What percentage of you, of the risk of you dying, would you take? As in, like, if they said,
it's 50-50.
There's a chance you'll die. 50-50.
Don't tell me the odds. Never tell me the odds.
No. I'm saying, like, yeah, what if it was 50-50? If it was 50-50, I don't think I'd do it. Definitely not.
It's not
worth it.
I think...
I can see some HD video of it on YouTube. That's fine.
But it's going to be high until more people do it, right?
I'm going to say 10%. If someone said you've got a 10% chance of dying, but you can go up to the moon and walk on the moon,
yeah,
I think I'd do it.
Yeah.
I think I'd risk it.
You'd go all the way there for a barren wasteland where there's nothing there. There's nothing there. They don't even have Disney World up there.
Not yet. Once NASA have built that base, Disney World is going to be the first thing that opens. That, McDonald's and the Subway, and maybe a Taco Bell.
Yeah. Would that be really selfish, though? If I was alone and didn't have any friends or family, I'd definitely do it.
Yeah.
But then you've got to think about, is that selfish?
That is surprisingly specific. But it's just a trip to the moon. You can come back.
No, but you have a chance of dying. We're going with the odds of dying.
So would you rule yourself out of doing so many things on Earth for the same reason? Like scuba diving? Or
if someone said there's a 10% chance of dying for scuba diving, I would not do it.
I feel like the odds probably aren't that different. I felt if you looked into it.
I would hope.
Like deep
are.
Sea diving, I mean, like going 500 meters down into the ocean.
There's a difference between scuba diving and deep sea diving, I think.
Okay.
An amateur's not going to go like cave diving, are they? Which is crazy dangerous.
Some people
do. It's been like, not if you haven't done diving before in general. That's meant to be really dangerous, isn't it, cave diving?
Yeah. Yeah. No, thank you.
Why would you dive into a rock? It's just stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why would you travel millions of miles to a rock just to have a walk about?
It's not a rock.
A walkabout. But think about it, no gravity, Alex.
Yeah.
Well, not no gravity.
Yeah. I could go up to the International Space Station and have the exact same experience.
No,
and I could have a...
You'd be confined in a little tube with Russians.
Okay. Alex, 10% chance of dying, but you can go up to the International Space Station?
Surely it'll be less than going to the moon, the chance of dying.
I don't know, the odds are going to be like astronomically smaller than that.
Well,
but... What would you say if someone said it was 10%? 10% chance that you just suddenly die in the space shuttle? Live on YouTube.
I know it sounds bad, but no, I don't think I would. I'd wait. I think it might be commercially available in my lifetime. I think.
No, it's not. Just for the sake of argument, that's not going to happen.
It's now or never.
In this scenario, that cannot happen.
I'd like to think I would say yes, but also I'd be absolutely terrified about that 10% chance. So, I don't know. I've played XCOM, and I know what... When there's a percentage chance that something's going to happen and it's always low, it always happens. I mean, that's verifiably not true, but it always feels like it happens. So, I don't know. I mean, what about you? Would you do that for 10% chance that you would die?
Go to the moon?
No, you go to the International Space Station.
Yes.
Wow. That's an interesting question. Well,
is it worth the risk?
What do you guys think at home?
Yeah, let's open it up. What do you think?
Yeah.
10% chance? Is that too high?
We've ended this podcast on too interesting a point now. I just want to keep discussing this. Maybe it's something we'll revisit down the line.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, just so you know, can I say a statistic? This might influence our audience. Okay. But apparently, based on all space travel, not just to the moon, the current odds of dying in space are 1 in 20.
Wow, 5%. Really?
Yeah. But only 565, fewer than 600 people have been into space. So, you know, the more people go, the better the odds get.
So imagine is that historically 5%? So when it was like proper dangerous and like the Russians were doing it in the 60s?
Yeah, I think
the lost cosmonauts.
I think it's people actually in space, so not just the lost cosmonauts. But that does include the Challenger crew, you know, with the shuttle exploding.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah, you expect it to be a little bit better now, wouldn't you?
So I think that's it as well. Isn't like the rockets that they use now, obviously Elon Musk's venture, they can't really tell the statistics because they've only flown like one commercial crew like flight up there. But what is it? The Roscosmos rocket. I can't remember what it's called. But that's been in circulation for decades, and that's apparently like one of the safest rockets there is, right?
Like trust the Russians. It's like the AK-47. It'll just never.
Well, they learn through trial and error, but
yeah, it's true. That's true.
But apparently that's like one of the safest ones now.
I can see you changing your mind. I can see you thinking about it.
Well, that's not the question. This is Martin's got a flat rate of 10% chance you're going to die on the way to that.
take it or leave it.
Yeah.
And this, which if it's 120, that's less than your 10%. So there you go.
Exactly. But you don't have the 1 in 20. It's 10% or nothing.
Okay, I see. I see. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, I think on that note, let's leave our audience to ponder that. And thanks so much for watching or listening to the episode on whatever platform that you're choosing to listen to this on. If you are listening on Apple Podcasts or Spotify or something, maybe drop a review. That kind of thing really helps the podcast. So I'm led to believe. Thanks so much for watching. Make sure you check out NordVPN as well and use the code justinteresting at checkout, or go to nordvpn.com/justinteresting to get 68% off a 2-year plan plus 4 extra months for free. It's a fantastic deal that we cannot recommend enough, and it really helps the podcast when you do it. But thanks so much for watching.
Great quiz, Alex.
You're very welcome, Robin. And as always, I will see you both next week.
See you next week.
See you later.
Bye.
Bye.